Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special mom in your life. And what better way than with the Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets that are perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their advanced eye care duo brightens, awakens, and firms the skin around your eyes, while the golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths the skin all over. Both sets are packaged in giftable boxes. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. And the best part? For a limited time, you can save up to $46 on Osea's sets. Plus, get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. This Mother's Day, get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off site-wide.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Monday Morning Recap. I was just looking at the clock laughing. Holy shit, is it? It's 5:30. 5:30 on the East Coast. Yeah. This might be one of the latest we've ever done the show the morning.
Not even close. Probably doesn't crack the top 10.
No way. 5:30 in the afternoon?
We've done so many 5 o'clock shows on for this fucking thing. I mean 5 central, like 5 our time.
Sure, sure. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS is going to double that deposit all the way up to $1,000. If you were a part of MyBookie.com this weekend and bet with me in golf, well, won yourself $4,000. That $100 bet paid off at $4,000. It is now tied 1-1 on our golf show.
Now, and Ross, you're the golf expert here, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
And always have been.
Now, yeah. You bet with me this weekend, you made $170.
But you didn't lose money.
But you did not lose money. You won $170 thanks to Cameron Young, top 10 and top 20 bet.
Yeah. So looking at the last 3 weeks, I had a guy in the playoffs. So I was a cunt hair short of 2 out of 3 weeks.
Right. You took a favorite in Patrick Cantlay.
But it was 20-1. Yeah, like, he wasn't the favorite. He was probably 5th or 6th in that tournament. Now, this one I went with Max Homa, who I've been on all year.
To be fair,
I've bet him 2 other times. He's let me down. He did not let me down this time.
To be fair, when we made picks on Tuesday, I was under the impression this was in Quail Hollow in Charlotte. It was not.
Oh, it wasn't. Where was it?
It was at TPC Potomac.
Okay. Did they move the event between Tuesday and Wednesday?
They moved the event this year because it is...
That feels like it's on you then.
It is on me, for sure. Yeah. However, I do not, you know...
Is where they hold a golf tournament important to the golf tournament?
It is.
To the golfers, actually.
However, it is. They typically have the Wells Fargo every year at Quail Hollow, except this year because the President's Cup is at Quail Hollow, so I have to prepare for that. So I made picks for Quail Hollow on me, hand up.
Sure.
Didn't do the research. I just assumed, you know, the tournament would be where it is every year.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was in Maryland.
Yeah. It was a fun weekend in Maryland. I had a blast this weekend. Really, really enjoyed myself. And shout out to Max Homa for that. So now we're in it. Okay. Like, I'm locked in. I know what I'm doing. You shouldn't let me get hot. And I reached out to Joseph A. Bank on a Sunday afternoon, which they were open, by the way.
Listen, good for Max, though.
Surprising.
Great for Max.
Great for Max. So what we're going to do the remainder of the year on the golf show that airs on either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending upon what day the tournament starts, is you and I are playing for a green jacket from Joseph A. Bank. And Bob will treat this set like Butler Cabin. Loser will have to put the green jacket on the other. And then Bob's going to do a full sit-down interview of what it's like to be the champion
now,
of the year.
I'm fine with that. I thought the show was about picking winners. We're a team. I thought we were going to be a unit. I talked about Max Homa being a previous winner, despite not knowing it was at a different golf course.
I knew he was a pretty...
This is how socialism works, by the way. Right? So it is all about us while we're struggling.
The greater
all
good.
About me when I win.
Right. Yeah. Team effort.
I thought we were a team, Jeff Bezos. Come on, man. It was me and you.
The company goes as far as we all do.
So, of course, it does. And luckily, I was here to save the day because there was a lot of people in the chat. And I don't know if you're are you back on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm back in Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was a big group chat about you over the weekend in Drinking Bros Sports, which
don't
is
pay attention
private,
to it.
Private groups you all sign up for. They compared you to Matthew McConaughey in the Al Pacino movie about gambling. And I think
honored.
What?
Have you seen that movie?
Two what? For the Money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never even heard of that.
Really? It's a weird movie because whenever they, I don't understand, but whenever they do betting movies, they don't really have like real gamblers there on set to.
Because
to
that, would just, that would confuse the normies. It would confuse me, and I gamble
shut
all the
up,
time.
Rob.
I guess so, yeah.
We need to go into these movie sets and just be consultants.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, especially for, what was it, the Adam Sandler movie? Uncut
that was
Gems?
That was the most egregious of all time.
Like, you can't do a parlay with
no,
a
dude,
tip-off, man.
Can't do any of that shit that they said. I checked out of that movie 5 minutes
ago. You do it if you were such a degenerate that the book, that your personal book is like, yeah, all right, yeah, you want to, all right, I'll make up odds for that real quick.
No, Aaron's not letting me do that.
Yeah, nobody's going
to
do that.
That's different. And obviously, my bookie's not going to do that either. But if you're like a psycho degenerate and you're just going to some mob, you know, type of bookie guy, I don't know what he was gambling with. I never saw the movie, but like, it's Caesar's isn't going to let you do it either.
Perhaps maybe if you're Phil Mickelson, because
right, that's what I'm saying.
That is what he did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you are a high roller guy who will bet fucking anything, your personal illegal underground book will probably be like, let me get some odds real quick on this.
So Mickelson would gamble with this professional gambler, and they would win those bets. But Phil Mickelson would make these side bets that he would lose, and then he would have to pay out those losses on his wins.
Right.
And that's how he ended up at, how, what was it, like
$40 million that he lost. So it happened to me in college once, actually a couple years after I graduated, that Ohio State's Miami National Championship. The odds were 13 to 1 on the money line on that game because the spread was 13.5 points. No one was betting on the national championship because they were convinced Miami was going to win. He offered those fucking ridiculous odds at the last second to get us in that he had made up, and then he had to stick to those, and we all won a fuck ton of money off that game.
Sorry, was he a Columbus bookie or something?
He was not.
Okay, because that would be an insane thing for a Columbus bookie to do.
But he was just a bookie?
Yeah.
To be honest, you had to take the money line of Ohio State. So they had to win the game outright, and it was a 13.5 spread. And that was the...
Look, you can't contain Maurice
Willis
Claret.
Willis McGahee year.
You cannot contain Maurice Claret unless it's in a jail.
Yeah, unless it's in a car with a shotgun.
Right, yeah, right.
And then you can contain him. But that's the only time a bookie's ever made up odds on the spot to try to pull in money last minute that I can remember. But the Uncut Gems thing was bullshit.
Yeah, but you know,
Uncut
the market's
Gems.
Down.
Uncut Gems.
The market's down. My picks haven't been great.
Crypto's down.
Crypto's down. It just kind of goes ebbs and flows. Right?
Is the crypto affecting your gambling abilities?
No, because it's very unbeneficial for me, because when I lose, I usually have to cash out my crypto to pay my bookie. And when the market's down, it's
sure.
So
it's a double loss.
The market is tanking because your golf picks aren't going. You have to keep selling.
I have to keep selling.
Right.
And it's just a double loss for me. So trust me, you guys losing your $5 at home, I'm sorry for you. I'm very sorry that you didn't hit your $5.
Kelly came to me.
This is just more
picks.
Of his. You hear the sarcasm?
Oh,
yeah. His ego is completely out of control.
And by the way, he just called all of you poor.
Yeah.
All of you poor.
All of you at home.
All
just
of
because
people.
You're not in bankruptcy because of your wild gambling.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Me and Phil are on our own.
Like, you guys,
only rich people file for bankruptcy. Yeah, you guys don't do it.
You guys are listening at home, and you still have homes because you don't gamble the way I do.
Yep.
Shame.
Makes sense.
For shame.
Oh, yeah. So good. But looking forward to the rest of the year. Now I'm locked in, and I want this. I want this for the year. So I'm going to.
And as an observer, this makes it all the better for me because I know you're going to fail. Right?
You think I am?
Well, so I don't know who's going to win.
Let's
between,
go around the horn. Between me and him, do you
I don't
think
know
he's going
to win
me?
Between the two of you, because there's an element of luck to it that you know, you can't be it can't be accounted for. But I know that overall, you will fail.
Look, there's because, the only winners in this are me and Dan Holloway.
Yeah.
And Georgia.
Because whoever loses, and Georgia, whoever loses, will, it'll just be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the interview, I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to a nice sit down with you, Bob.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. I am too.
Can we do it on a golf course?
Boy.
I think we should build a Butler cabin replica in the back of the new studio.
I think we should do it more Maury Povich style.
We have that shed.
We do. Hey, Craigers just gave you $20 and says Delco's body is writing checks that he can't cash in about 2 or 3 months. The golf season actually goes till October, I believe.
Yeah,
it's long.
Like September, yeah.
And you'll be fine. You can always start an OnlyFans or something.
We'll be fine, guys. We'll be fine.
We'll see you take this week. It'll be fun. I've already studied up. I've already got my picks.
Byron Nelson.
So we're good to
go. It's in Dallas.
Yeah. You know who's playing? Scotty.
Yeah, it's a home game.
He's automatically going in.
It's a home game for the tour.
You know my rules, dude. I already said, if he's playing, I'm betting on him. This is some Tiger Woods
shit.
Yeah,
but it's the week before a major.
It is.
Do you want to win it before? If you're a big-time golfer, do you want to win a week before the major?
He's so hot, I don't think it matters right now. That guy's off the charts.
I mean, he's a horse for the course. It's going to be a spot. We'll get into it on the picks.
On the show,
On the show, but it's a course where a guy's going to win at like minus 22.
He's at 8.5 to 1 right now. Yeah. That's. I mean, it's pretty goddamn good odds for the favorite.
For the favorite, that's pretty good. That's like double what you normally get for a favorite.
And what I was texting you was, because you were like, hey, I was talking about the pick. It was like, it's not that. It's just following the trends of this, because I do enjoy gambling and following this
Max
stuff.
Max has been a stud for the last 2 years.
100%. And so I've picked him two other times this year. Golf, now that I'm paying more and more attention to it, is very streaky. Mm-hmm. Unlike UFC, which that card Saturday night was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Well, other than the Rose fight.
But here's the thing. She was champion and she lost. So like that could happen every single night in UFC.
I said on the show, Carla Esparza.
You guys called.
I did not expect that.
You guys called it. So let's hear from the both of you, because that card was fucking incredible. Knockout of the year so far. And that's
that or Molly McCann.
The undercard fight, was that the knockout of the year?
Well, I just want to preface this, but I don't talk to my dad much, and he would just text me. He was like, "Who gonna win this fight?" And then I read him off the entire main card, and I called that entire main card. So I just want to go ahead and give myself this real quick.
Yeah, but
even though I have control over it.
Yeah.
And
you were at a nudist colony. You didn't get to watch the fight.
I feel like you could have said all that without bringing up your daddy issues, too.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give the audience a full perspective of me, some backstory, you know, add to the lore.
He was just watching a lot of meat acorns fucking flop around.
You know what? If you follow me on social media, you know I was at a nudist colony all weekend with no cell service, about an hour and a half east of San Diego. Some sort of springs.
You're not even high right now.
No,
which is crazy.
And all of this sounds like a nightmare, by the way.
Oh, you don't think I'm high? I brought back some. I may or may not have brought something across state lines. The Stizzy pen that I happen to be a big
fan
CBD.
Of. Yeah.
If they ask, it's CBD.
Olive oil.
But let's get into that. Let's get into that card from Saturday night, because that was a fucking blast.
Let's start at the top. Let's start with the drama with Charles Oliveira missing weight and winning, which I called, because one, it takes all the pressure off him of defending the title.
Ross had a question in the group chat this week where he was like, why did Oliveira only missed weight by half a pound?
And
why,
he was wearing tennis shoes and then he was wearing pants.
But why did he lose the title? And it's because in regular fights, you're allowed to, you have that 1 pound allowance, but for whatever reason, in title fights, you have to be 155 on the dot.
Well, what Ross is saying is, why was he in shorts and pants? That's the ceremonial weigh-in, which is later. The real weigh-in, where they're dying and they look like skeletons and they have to like kind of be carried to the scale, is the real weigh-ins. Oliveira shows up like, there's a 2 hour window. Oliveira shows up with like a little bit of time left and is a pound over. And they go, yo, you get since you don't make weight, you get an extra hour added to go make weight. Comes back after that hour and is a half a pound over still. That means he's like sucked weight really bad. He can't get that last little bit of weight off. He's basically dying. There's no more fluids left in his body. They strip him of the belt right away. They keep the fight going because they want the fight to go ahead. He gets a deduction of his purse percentage.
I think Dana still said he was going to get points.
He gets points, but not his total points. He basically, I think Shelshon did the math. He lost around $2 million.
Oh, God. Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah.
For a half a pound?
Yes.
And it's ridiculous because it's like,
should have just cut his foot off or something.
Yeah.
To get to the title, you're allowed this 1 pound overweight. But when you get to the title fight, it shouldn't change, right? But, like, it should either, you should have the 1 pound allowance mm-hmm. for every fight, or you have no allowance for every yeah. fight. Like, there, it has to be one of the two. You can't
the title both. Part of it is not the big deal. The big deal is the money. Because yes. if you win the fight, you're still number one contender for whatever might happen. Mm-hmm. If there's any fight for the title, you're in it the next time.
Supposedly. Anyway.
So it's effectively the same. Well, yeah, I mean, Dana can do whatever he wants.
And there were some shenanigans going on with the scale.
Supposedly the scale was reading heavy for a lot of other fighters who were checking their weight beforehand. And it's really common for people to travel with their own scales, to have them in the hotel as they're cutting weight and wherever before they go in. And Charles was super... like, and they also don't use a digital scale, which is really confuses me. At the UFC, they use a very finely tuned weight measuring scale, mm-hmm. where you slightly move it in degrees, and it tells you, and it dials into what weight it's at. Those are supposed to be more accurate, but those like give me this human error aspect of things that I freaking hate.
Yeah, Anik posted on Twitter bring digital scales, who knows, man?
Well, the other part of this, you gotta calibrate those too. Like, it's a whole nother.
And you can do some crazy shit with the towels that you can hang on to.
Part of it. So the audience was asking, why didn't he pull a DC and go out in a towel and do the weigh-in?
Well, did you guys not see the box? They have the box now. That black box with UFC written around it that he's in is because they don't want people doing the towel anymore. They saw DC do it. They saw Hazmat do it. First of all, if you've ever cut weight before, you have some sort of technique of how you blow your breath out before you step on. You lean one way, then you lean the other. Some people stand on their head for 60 seconds before they get on the scale because they say that moves the blood or whatever. Like, none of it fucking works. They're all just
superstitious. What if you just swallowed a bunch of helium?
Yeah. Would you float or no?
I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can swallow enough to make
sure. Well, why doesn't everyone just, you know, pull the trigger right before they get on the scale?
What, kill themselves?
Well, maybe, puke. But...
Oh, you mean...
They try all the time.
Well, they're so dehydrated at that point that nothing's
right,
coming
what else
out.
Is coming there? Yeah.
It's just a dry heave.
Yeah. Yeah. They should honestly just slam, like, I don't know, 10 shots of vodka the night before. Just fully
some people try things
themselves.
Like that. Yeah. What they do is called water logging or water loading. You start off at the beginning of the week, like after you've brought your weight down, like your natural weight down as much as you can through like diet and their process. And then you put in a ton of water, like as much water as you can. You keep it coming and you move from like 3 gallons to 2 gallons to a gallon. And then you slowly move it down. And then your body thinks it has all this water in it. It's going to keep replenishing all this water, and it keeps you sweating when you're at that last little like water cut stage.
But the whole thing kind of overshadowed that Charles Oliveira is in fact that dude. There is no easy way to beat him moving forward. When you knock him down, he's only more dangerous. You don't want to finish him because his jiu-jitsu is by far... I didn't admit this before, but it is the best jiu-jitsu in the UFC.
Easily the best jiu-jitsu in the UFC. He's just so dangerous on his back. People don't want to go there with him. He's the only fighter where people just, nope, let's stand him up.
So you have to knock him out cold on his feet. If you try to go down with him to finish him, he will finish you.
So one of the questions that was brought up on Twitter.
The frat.
Yeah, they did. One of the questions on Twitter that everybody was asking was,
a lot of dudes.
Could he beat Khabib?
So here's what I want to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I want him and Islam to fight. I want him to beat Islam. And then kind of force, with Khabib in Islam's corner, forces Khabib to come out of retirement to fight Charles Oliveira and defend his boy's honor and just kind of see, like, that is the one challenge that he has not met in the division. Like, Khabib never fought Oliveira, and I think that would be, yeah, that's the fight.
Are you in agreement with that?
I spin a different narrative.
Okay. What is it?
For the past 6 months, I've been hearing whispers and talks of this Conor McGregor title fight.
Oof. No.
And there needed to be a
Who
way.
Who wants to see that?
Dana White wants to see it.
Yeah. No, wants to Dana see White, money. He wants to see it for money, but
money.
Who in the fight community gives a flying fuck about
no
that?
No, and it just brings in the casual fans like myself.
Yeah,
too.
But there's so many more fun fights for Conor. Like even Gaethje, I'd rather see him fight Gaethje.
I think he comes back in a title fight. I don't necessarily even think Charles is involved. I thought Charles was going to get hurt in this fight. Like he was going to win, but Gaethje was going to do damage to him because Gaethje is a savage. But
yeah, but Gaethje.
Who does Conor fight then?
Conor fights probably DP4 for the title.
Right now, he's fighting charges back in Ireland.
Yeah. Maybe you should get first those
off, Irish crimes. I don't hate
him
real.
And Chandler either.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no such thing,
dude,
as
Chandler would fucking decimate.
That's the sprinkle. That's yeah.
I would love to see that. I would actually watch that fight because Chandler would hurt him.
But Chandler takes damage, so like Connor, like there is a path to victory for Connor, and mm-hmm. I think that that's a good sell. Like obviously Michael Chandler just became like a mega star, even more so to casuals than he already was. And he was already a pretty big star. Mm. But him versus Connor, I think that's a mega fight right now.
Yeah, that's a huge mega fight. That's Red Panty Night again. But that's a huge gift to Michael Chandler. That's like saying, here's a bunch of money. You get to go fight Connor McGregor.
Why wouldn't you do it? That's so much money that's life-changing. Why not do it?
Has there been a more exciting like four-fight stretch in the UFC than Chandler currently? Like
Can you give him two title fights off of like... with no champion?
Title fight. I'm talking him versus Connor. There's no title involved. Oliveira's the number one contender. He's getting the title fight.
I don't think that matters.
Dana already said, like, Oliveira is one half of the title fight. He already said it.
I don't think that matters.
Why not?
Oliveira's not going to fight for the title. That's stupid.
I think he could fight Islam, not for the title.
That's not accurate.
That would be crazy. So dumb. That would be
Look
fucking
at
insane.
My face.
Yeah, it looks high.
Yeah,
it looks really high.
You
right
are
now.
On another planet right now.
Yeah. Dana loves
this man. I guarantee
100%
Oliveira is fighting for the title next. Like, that's retarded.
Yeah, especially considering he dismantled Gaethje in less than a round. I mean, he's not... The rule that UFC has had up till this point is that if the title is vacated because you don't make weight and you win, you're now the number one contender. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. He literally went up and kissed Dana on the head, and Dana was just like, you don't get the title, but you are the number one contender. And then he said in the post-fight interviews that, he is one half of the next title fight.
So Colton Weissprotz in the chat is saying Connor is coming back to 170. That would make sense based on what his body looks like now. I follow him on Instagram. He looks probably 190, 195.
And Chandler
right now.
Called him out like after he knocked out Tony Ferguson and was like, hey, I'll fight you at 170, Connor.
Yeah.
So that would be like
a cool thing. Connor was at 170 to fight Nate Diaz, who is now through the leagues been paired up with Hazmat Chimaev because they're tired of Nate's shit because Nate has been holding out, taking fights because he wanted to starch someone, come off with a victory. That way he could go black Logan Paul. Dana was like, we don't really want you to do that. And then now they've served him up to the wolves, it looks like. And then Connor's going to stay at 55. If they're going to try to like run some money out of Connor, it's at 55.
Well, even if it's 155, he'll still fight Chandler.
Yeah, he'll fight Chandler at 55. But
he offered 170.
I think he's coming back for a title. He may fight Oliveira for the title. And my previous prediction of him knocking out Oliveira could come true.
Wow. You think Conor McGregor would win that fight?
No.
I think he could win that fight. No. And I think we would be living in that timeline. And I would just be like, everything I didn't want happened.
That's a submission first round, I think.
Oliveira destroys him.
Yeah.
We all said the same thing
about Jose Aldo. I think I want to take us back in time.
I was at that fight. I was there. It was 6 seconds.
Jose Aldo was the scariest man on earth. Jose Aldo was that dude at that point in time. Hadn't lost a fight in like 8 years. Yeah.
I was at that fight at Madison Square Garden.
Where clearly Oliveira's made himself. He's spread himself out. Like he's hard to beat regardless of what your strategy is. Usually a guy's got a weakness. Right now he doesn't seem
to. Doesn't have a weakness.
Gaethje, I don't know what to think about that guy. It's like, hey, you don't know which dude's showing up.
I think he's great. I just think he was against the best.
He's great. He's not elite.
Yeah.
He lost to Khabib. He lost to Oliveira, who is on another planet right
those,
now.
Those two guys you just mentioned are elite, and they watching them fight would be amazing. So, and,
I mean, Charlie Olives is a great story. I mean, it's a guy who was kind of a middle of the road in this division early in his career. Was obviously, like, even Gaethje said it in the pre-fight interviews, just like a guy that used to quit all the time. And
what changed for him?
Something clicked. I don't know what happened. I don't know what kind of supplements he's on. I don't know.
Is he on steroids?
I don't know. I don't think so.
He's from Brazil.
What does that mean exactly?
I just think
just stuff happens down there.
You
thought
I was pretty good at finding stuff.
Now,
I don't think he's on anything. I just think something clicked in his head. I don't know what happened, but sometimes people have to go through these fires and these like trials and tribulations, and they just become much better for it. Even like Max Homa this weekend, like he's won three times in since 2021. And before that, like he lost his tour card at one point.
No.
Like, these are good like redemption arcs that happened all weekend.
Well, what happened with Thug Rose? As I don't understand the results of this fight. I understand that.
It was the most boring fight I think I've ever seen in my life.
You actually watched it?
I watched the entire card.
I'm looking at the stats from this. So the decision went for Carlos Barza, obviously. Total strikes, 38 to 137 for Rose, 30 to 133 to Esparza, and that's 27.5%. To 22.6%. So Rose wins this. Significant strikes, same thing. She won that.
Yeah, but
takedowns is our 2-1 Carla. Nothing on the data sheet tells me why Esparza
and
won
that
this
that is why you don't look at the stats, because if you actually watch the fight, Carla Esparza was the only person that initiated any type of fight. It was by far, it was five rounds of nothing. It was the worst fight in the history of the sport.
Was it rigged? People were asking that.
No. Was that a
title fight?
Yeah, it was a title fight.
It was Rose being afraid of Carla taking her down, so she didn't initiate, and she was trying to keep her range, and Carla was just fine with it, and literally nothing happened. There was more strikes in the Oliveira Gaethje fight, which was only 2.5 minutes, than a 25-minute fight.
Yeah. That was the most boring fight I think I've ever watched.
So why did Esparza win? Just because she controlled the ring?
She controlled, like, kind of pushed forward with the fight, and she took her down twice.
Yeah,
like,
she tried to fight. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Rose had one takedown too, right?
So at the very end.
It's close.
Yeah. Not really. The fight sucked. Like there was no like you. Honestly, it should have been a draw.
Yeah,
it should have been a draw. Like just whatever. Like,
yeah, that's a weird one. I mean, just obviously from what you're saying, I didn't watch it, but Thug Rose seemed tentative, and the other lady didn't really. It's not like she fucking went out there and beat her ass because she was tentative.
Nothing happened.
So why give up the belt for that? That isn't typical.
Yeah.
They must have been really pissed at fucking Rose for taking the fight off. Honestly, like, why else would you give up?
Her corner was so bad, too. I mean, Trevor Whitman was just talking about, like, he didn't tell her to start initiating anything until the fifth round. For four rounds, they're like, you're doing great. You're keeping your distance. It's like, she's got nothing for you. And, like, it was just some of the worst, like,
the whole thing was
I've ever seen.
Super fucking odd. But we can move past that to the knockout of the year.
It's a good one.
Man, was that fucking insane?
Well, front kick to the face.
Yeah, we posted a picture of that Megamo shot where he looked like an old man. That was one of the most brutal knockouts I've ever seen. I posted on Twitter afterwards. I was like,
then did you watch him do like six backflips for no reason afterwards?
Yeah.
And then like move him out of the way, be like, no, I need to do more backflips.
I mean, over and over and over again. But
it's your former roommate.
That's your former roommate. So break down that fight, Giorgio.
Michael kicked him in the fucking face.
I understand that. But I mean, have you seen something that vicious in a long time? It was a perfect shot.
He was at the nudist colony.
You were the nudist colony.
So
I did watch it, and I watched it from a few angles, from a few cell phones as well. And Tony just leaned right into it. Like, it was one of those perfect things where he does this, and he's all, like, smooth, and, like, it makes Tony so elusive and dangerous because you don't know where he's coming from. But if you throw something, maybe he'll, like, fall right into it, and he did, and he was just knocked unconscious.
And Tony looked good. Tony won the first round.
Supposedly.
No, he did.
He did. I watched it. He did.
Like, Chandler had a takedown, but even from, like, being on the ground, Tony was landing, like, elbows and stuff. Like, I scored Tony winning that first round.
I did, too. The other thought that I had after that was, like, at this point, he's had so many brutal fights in a row. This has got to be it, right?
I don't think he needs to retire. He just needs to take a step back. Like, he's fought nothing but killers. Oliveira, you have Gaethje, you have fucking, yeah.
Well, it started with Gaethje, right?
What?
It started with Gaethje.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then it went Oliveira.
Yep.
Then it went
Dariush,
Benil, and then now right on to Chandler. That is a murderous
five
row.
Nasty fights in a row where you're looking at major CTE.
That's also five different guys in the division.
I would probably find a new job when my face got made to look like that at my current job.
Right.
it's just you need to if a box did that to you at a factory, you would stop working at that factory.
Yes.
So the best thing before we went on air, actually, Giorgio showed me a video of Chuck greeting Tony after the fight ringside he was out cold for 5 minutes, and just being like, it's okay, and then he taps him on the back of the head really hard.
Chuck Liddell?
Yes.
Yeah, he gives him his advice. He's like, you showed a lot of heart, brother. Come to my house. We'll have a cold one. And then as he's leaving, it gives him the tap, tap. But, you know, it's all like Chuck Liddell, it's like, so it's hard.
Yeah.
And he just whacks him. I was like, did you just say he was just like knocked unconscious on the floor like 20 seconds ago?
He was unconscious for like 5 minutes.
Tony was just face down. He was just slumped.
Yeah.
What's next for Chandler then? I mean,
I would like Connor.
There's DP. There's
Islam is in front of him. DP's in front of him.
Islam's fighting Dariush.
Poirier tweeted right after the fight, I'm better than these guys, which he just lost to Oliveira like 4 months ago. So I'm not sure how he's better than him. But
he was about 3 seconds away from being the champion. He was about to finish Oliveira.
Chandler was, yeah.
But obviously it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. So I think Chandler should not get the title fight, obviously. It's stupid. He beat Tony. Tony's on a bit of a slump. I think we need to bring Tony back. I think he needs to fight the Bobby Greens of the world and have some fun fights. I think that's all he has left in the tank these days.
So what's the next lightweight fight then? Are they going to do any chance they do a fucking Grand Prix or something like that? They're just going to pick a fucking somebody to fight Oliveira. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Poirier?
I don't know. I would love to see Khabib again? Or one of
like,
those
does anybody want to see Poirier again?
Islam would be awesome. That'd be great. I think that would be a blast of a fight.
Islam versus Oliveira in Dubai.
I don't want to see it in Dubai.
That would be huge.
If it was here, that'd be cool.
It's going to happen in Dubai. It's going to be in the afternoon. You're going to watch it at like 2 p.m.
I always forget about those. Those 2 p.m. fights, I'm just like, all right, sweet. And then it pops up of like, hey, guess who won?
Dan, how do you feel about this? For old Mr. Ferguson. Ferguson versus Paddy the Batty.
What about Jim Miller?
How about Ferguson just takes the rest of the career off, okay? Let's he's all done if he wants to live.
I will say I love Molly and Paddy just being ringside, just getting hammered.
Yeah, they're great dudes.
And then being right next to Jared Cannonier, who was not having any of it.
No, just he's a very like just Cannonier's like the most like straightforward dude ever.
But I will say there was talks of Volkanovski, if he beats Max Holloway for the third time, moving up to 155 and immediately getting the title shot. So Volkanovski versus Oliveira for the 155 belt.
Can't do that. Won't happen. That weight class is far too thick.
Dana literally said if he wants to move up to 155, I will give him an immediate title shot.
It will not happen.
Well, we'll find out.
If he beats Max Holloway, there's nothing left for him at 145.
Yeah.
Happen. The only person that stuff happens for is names Conor McGregor.
Let's go. Breaking news here. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic has been named MVP. I believe you guys called this.
He was the PER leader again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't miss time, unlike Embiid.
Yeah, there's been... since 2006, I think, there's been two instances of an MVP that wasn't the PER leader. One of them was one of the first years that Steph Curry set his own three-point record at that point. And the other time was, what's his nuts from the Bulls? Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I don't know why for him. Like, it wasn't
It was LeBron fatigue.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, it really wasn't like a super standout season.
2011?
Yeah.
That is peak LeBron.
It was 10-11, yeah.
Yeah, like that's...
But those are the only two times since PER has been tracked that it wasn't an indicator of the MVP. So it's not like we didn't do anything.
Yeah, but Delco, you're shaking your head. Did you think Embiid had it?
I think Embiid's proven that he's the MVP, right?
If he hasn't missed games. Well, I mean, look, they're still in the playoffs, but that doesn't count, unfortunately.
I know, but...
Jokic is the first player in NBA history with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists in a season.
I just don't know when Embiid's going to win any MVP title if it wasn't this year.
The Sixers aren't going to win a championship this year.
Have you not watched the games? They actually look pretty good the last two.
Yeah, James Harden kind of... The dialed last it back, huh?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, that's the game. They're games at home. You're supposed to lose road games, and you're supposed to win home games, and you got to steal one, typically, right?
Steal one.
You do, but that one is probably going to be game seven. I texted you afterwards that I think the series is going to go seven, because I caught the score, and then when I got home, I was checking the box score to see what happened there. The three pointers you called, that was 20% on there. And then I was surprised that Jimmy Butler at 45 and yeah,
never
lost.
Never be surprised that Jimmy Butler.
I will say, like, we got every single call. Like, we were living at the free throw line in the second and third quarter.
It was bad. Like, so you texted that. I watched the second half and you texted that, and I started to, like, pay actual, like, more attention instead of just
we're in the bonus, like, 10 minutes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it was, I mean,
down the stretch, it was a big deal, but for the game, you only had six more attempts than the Heat did.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like,
but in the moment, it was
in the second half, like, it was like the Heat couldn't move on defense without getting fucking called
right.
for something.
Yeah. Right. But at the same time, I was kind of just going through the roster and guys firing up threes for the Heat. I'm like, I'm not scared of this team. I'm not afraid of this fucking team. Are you kidding me? Especially if Tobias Harris is going to show up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not afraid of the Heat.
I think it goes seven. Is the last game, is game seven in Miami?
It'll be in Miami. Okay. So we just got to take either game five or game seven.
That's going to be tough.
I think I would put my money on the Sixers winning game five.
Okay.
In Miami. I think Miami's got to be a little shell shook.
That should be tomorrow, right? Yeah. It is tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good game for them to win, because the thing that happened in this game, I didn't watch any sports shows today, but I assume people were talking about it. I've watched all their games so far. And James Harden's lift on his jump shot has not been there, particularly on the step back shot that he's so become so good at. And it hasn't been all season, and a lot of last season as well. He was making his threes without that lift in this game. So if he's figured that out and he doesn't, like, he's back in a rhythm of shooting, the game has changed, right? Like, it's, you know,
he should also change his game, which is what you said he did, right?
He took over in the fourth quarter where I think he had, what, 18 in the fourth?
Something like
16
that.
16 or 18, yeah.
Did he really?
Like, yeah. Three threes, I think.
He just kept drilling threes.
But it wasn't like his normal, like, violence of action, quick step back and high rise launch the three. It was like almost like he was on a playground. Like, he just kind of leaned. He took a step back, a soft step back, and kind of leaned and shot.
Mm-hmm.
Different upper body motion than he's used to using, but I think he's had to switch it up because his legs are fucked.
But he went back to old school Harden, where it was just like total ISO ball, like, clear everybody out. I'm taking this guy one-on-one, which, you know, if he wasn't hitting the shots, would be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he made the shots.
Well, so, as long as he gets to the line, so Embiid is going to get to the line 10 to 15 times a game. And if you can have two guys getting to the line 10 to 15 times a game, not only you're shooting free baskets, but also the other team is in foul trouble. And the Heat, their fucking ability to turn, it's like the 14-15 Warriors, turning transition, like, good defense into transition buckets. That's how they win games. That's how they go on those fucking 18 to 3 runs and shit. The Heat are good at that because they have a good, particularly wing defense, and they have good mid-range rebounders who get rebounds on three-pointers and kick that shit out really fast. That's like one of their strong suits. If you can neutralize that shit by getting to the line and slowing the game down on them, they're kind of fucked, to be honest, because they have no solution for Embiid whatsoever.
I'm looking at the spread for Tuesday night's game. So on mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit up to $1,000. It is Miami -3 on Tuesday night at home in Miami.
It's close.
Phoenix -6 on Tuesday night down in Miami.
Over under on that that Sixers Heat game is 209.5. So that's like,
shit.
That's a 104, 106 game, something like that.
That's a low scoring game.
Because the Heat are what, the number one defense in the NBA, I think?
Yeah, and they're particularly good at home. But if your defense, like, PJ Tucker is really, considering his body type and his age, pretty good wing defender. But if Harden presses him and Maxey press him on the switch, then he's going to get into foul trouble early. Mm-hmm. And you lose when you're good
game
guys.
Game 3 was pretty low scoring in Philly. That it was a pretty ugly game. We couldn't make a fucking shot in the first half, but we still pulled out the dub. Maxey's starting to come to his own. If Harris can do anything on the road, I'll be really happy. I just expect him to just be okay at home. But I think we still handle the Heat. I think we win in 7, and I don't really have expectations for the Sixers after that.
Yeah, because after imagine. That, you're looking at the winner of the Celtics Bucks series. Yeah. Bucks are up 2-1. Now, that game I was able to watch. Mother's Day, I was out, obviously. The interesting part was golf. Again, man, I was at somebody's house for a Mother's Day function. a lot of people were betting on golf, so golf was on. Mm-hmm. A lot more people are betting on golf. And then obviously that Mavericks game was on because we're in Texas.
Right.
And they've tied up that series as well. So tonight's is the 6:30 game for us, Central, 7:30 for the rest of you guys, East Coast. Celtics at the Bucks. The spread on mybookie.com is Milwaukee -1. Whew. That is
that's a lot of respect for the Celtics and how they
sure
played
is,
right there.
Because it's at Milwaukee.
Especially considering they gave up a game, but they did the same thing in the last round. The Celtics got them, they dig themselves a hole and they get themselves out of it. Now, you're talking about the defending world champions here.
Yep, at home.
Not exactly the easiest thing to do, but they are short a man. Now, their first game back without Middleton and I think the last game fine, right? But eventually that's got to catch up to you, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's like one of the better players on the on what's supposedly the best team in the NBA.
Do we know if he's playing tonight, Bob?
I'll check. He was the second best player on that team last year, like by far.
Oh, he won that championship for him.
I mean, every time Giannis had like a fucking like 7-for-20 shooting performance, Middleton is the guy that saved
Middleton's
the
not well, playing tonight.
Let's not forget that Giannis was out for all of the Hawks.
Yeah.
Series. And so it was Middleton that carried them into the championship.
Yeah, he was scoring like 30 points every fucking game.
Sorry. That was for game three.
He's not on the injury report. So maybe Middleton's
coming back. He might be playing tonight.
Yeah. That'll be big. I don't know how many minutes they're going to put him in. I mean,
I'm going to take Milwaukee at -1 then tonight. If he's playing.
It's up in the air.
Game time decision.
So Budenholzer said Middleton's ruled out for games 3 and 4 and said simply. So he might be out, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's probably not. He's probably not playing.
I'm still going to take the Bucks in this one at -1. At home, 1 point. I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. Next up, we got the Grizzlies at the Warriors tonight. This series was fun, and then
got out of hand.
Jaw got hurt. Homeboy is looking at a suspension for it, and Jaw is out tonight.
Wait,
from
who's
what
looking at a suspension?
So they're
Jordan Poole.
They're talking about it. I don't know what's going to happen when the ruling
really
comes in. He said it was on accident, but he went at his legs. Who knows? The problem is, you take out one of your biggest superstars at this stage, you almost have to do something.
I will say this. It's not the first time that the Warriors have sketchily injured another team's superstar.
I'm sorry. How the fuck? How could Jordan Poole, who has no upper body strength, and you can tell because he wears a cut, like he's wearing a fucking basketball jersey. He doesn't have any upper body strength. He fucking grabbed onto homeboy's knee like this while he was stationary, right? And pulled down on it. What the fuck injury do you think happened there?
Weird ACL tears happen all the time. I'm not saying that's what it is. But also,
I fucking threw my back
time
out taking a shit one time.
Right. No. Not the first time a Steve Kerr Warriors team. Who is the fucking
Zaza?
Yeah, Zaza jumping under Kawhi's legs.
Yep.
But he, everybody hates that guy.
You got to have one, though. Every team should have a
one.
You love
one
them
Morris
when
twin.
Yes,
yeah.
you need
one
of
your
them.
Team,
yeah.
Hate them when you're going against
them. But
Jordan
Poole barely even plays defense. He was clearly anticipating Ja trying to dribble the ball forward and swiped at it and got his knee instead. I mean,
but you can still be a reckless piece of shit. Like,
sure, he didn't dive at somebody's legs, though.
No.
Swiping down at somebody's face, like what Draymond did the other day, for example, or diving towards their legs and shit for a loose ball, that's fucked up. But swiping down on a guy to try to pick the ball, that's not.
Do you think this is more like an offensive lineman like shittily trying to tackle like a cornerback who picked the ball off and like fucking up his knee or something like
that?
I think it's
more like an offensive lineman trying to tackle a dude during an interception. But
that's what I mean.
He doesn't usually tackle, so he fucked it up.
Or better yet, a fucking offensive lineman playing pickup basketball, trying too hard, not really having any coordination on the basketball court, and just injuring everybody.
Like, you can tell, the guys that are good at playing that type of defense, they don't fucking, it's a reach and foul, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just continue to go across somebody's body and try to do shit like that, because they will call that every single fucking time. You wait for the guy to load up, like Iguodala is really good at it. You wait for him to load up and you slap it down, or you wait for him to make a repeatable move and you just put your hand in the way. But if you're moving your hands like that and it's not a clear hand on ball situation, it's foul every time. This guy's just a dummy.
So the
spread, never plays defense.
The spread tonight is Golden State -9.5. his jaw's not playing. This one could get out of hand quickly tonight.
Well, to be honest, like as soon as the Warriors figured their shit out, and when I say figured their shit out, I mean figured out that Jordan Poole is going to do the same stuff in the postseason that he did during the regular season, no matter who they're playing against. This, it's over.
So, and you know what? The Grizzlies, too, like John Morant's dope and Jaren Jackson is good as well. But and I know it's not the same setup in the NBA, but this they were the number two seed or are the number two seed in the NBA playoffs. And it reminds me of a NFL or baseball team who racks up wins in a shitty division, right? Like they're a really soft number two seed. It reminds me of the fucking Brewers that the Braves played last year in the playoffs. Like they had home field advantage, but I was like, this team is soft. Like they have good pitching, but there's no lineup there. Maybe it's like the Cowboys winning the NFC East. Like it's like, yeah,
maybe
okay,
not
great.
Soft. Yeah. I wouldn't say soft. I would say maybe they overachieved. Right?
Yeah.
They're not a soft team.
No, I don't mean like they're pussies or anything like that. But
they're fun to watch.
It's a doughy. It's a cushy two.
Morant needs his Klay Thompson. You know what I mean? Like he needs a fucking wing, 3D guy like that, and they don't have it. Like they've got Bane or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah,
he's gonna score 20, but his PER is under 15. He's a net loss for the team. He doesn't play defense. They're a very flashy. It's actually maybe more like. The Suns back in the day with
Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
Amari Stoudemire and what was his name? Xavier or some shit? Not Xavier.
I also refuse to live
Sean
in a
Marion.
World.
Yeah. Something else.
I refuse to live in a world where Jordan Poole's actually a good basketball player in the NBA.
He's good.
God, he's good.
He's good.
It doesn't make sense. If you watch him in Michigan.
If you swapped him out for James Harden, that Sixers team would be totally fucking different.
I think he's a product of the system. I think he is...
He's still got to make the shots, though.
Yeah, well, he's getting shots because Klay and fucking Steph are there.
He scored 30.
He was doing that shit
last
year when fucking Klay wasn't even playing.
I don't want to live in a world where Jordan Poole's good at
good
NBA player.
Far better to accept reality.
You're going
to
accept the Michigan man being this good?
I don't have a choice. He's great in the NBA.
He hit one shot at Michigan.
He's great in the NBA. I there's nothing you can do, unfortunately.
Well, the Warriors are doing a good job of taking advantage of guys like that who may not be number one or two.
Well, they always have to draft 27th, so it's like, yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, like they may not be like Andrew Wiggins is not a good number one option for offense, but he's a really exceptional number three option. Jordan Poole is the same. He's a good number two and three option.
Yeah. It is. Offense. It's very reminiscent of like. The Patriots just having an insane slot receiver or a MLB team like loading up the back of their lineup with dudes who might strike out a lot or have a shitty average, but when they connect with the ball, it goes out of the fucking park like type of situation. Like they're good at grabbing guys who have massive holes in their game, but also massive talent.
Yeah.
To supplement it's a gamble. The team.
The other gamble is to do it the way that the Tampa Bay Rays do it, which is to build good regular season teams. And then once you get to the playoffs, you don't have that one critical advantage that it takes to close people out. You don't have a fucking out pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Warriors have an out pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Milwaukee
yeah.
between Middleton and not just the way they can score, but between Middleton, Giannis, and Drew Holiday, they can lock a fucking wing down. You know what I mean? Even like closer back to the rim because Giannis is so long. Most teams don't have, like, when the Heat come out, it's the middle of the third quarter and they're down by 15. What do? They just try to do defense and run transition, right? But if Hero's not hitting threes, as we saw this last game, when they're in that transition, then you're still kind of fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The way they weren't hitting threes in the last game, though, was like an aberration. Like they were
they were just missing them. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you leave yourself open to that.
You're going to really rely on Vincent to like carry you with wide open threes?
Look, I mean, there's
Jordan Poole's doing it.
They're shooting.
Harrow had three wide open threes and he bricked all three of them.
He airballed one.
But they were shooting beyond what you would call like the margin, like a margin where it's like, okay, that's within, that can fluctuate between that and that. Mm. Like they were ice fucking cold to where you can't rely on that happening every game.
No, certainly not. No.
I'm looking at the disparity in ticket prices here on DrinkingBrosTickets.com. So this Bucks-Celtics game, which is the better game of the night.
Yeah.
$75 for tickets. This Warriors game is at $160. That is
now,
the cheapest
ticket.
Where
are
those Warriors games
being
in San
played?
Francisco, my man.
Yeah. Milwaukee.
I guess.
Listen, Milwaukee and May, though, sounds beautiful.
Milwaukee
sounds
and May
like a
is
wonderful
beautiful.
Time.
On the lake, it's incredible. You don't want to be indoors.
But that's a better game, and those tickets... The cheapest tickets are $75. This one, the cheapest, are $160 for Warriors Grizzlies without Ja Morant. That's the only reason you watch the Grizzlies is for Ja Morant. Like, I don't even know who's his backup. I can't even name the guy.
No one can.
I think Bane.
And now you're going to pay $160 to sit in the last row of the stadium? Like,
yeah, but you're for the Dubs. You're there to watch Steph hit a million threes and not have to sweat at all during the game. Like, you don't have to worry about it.
True.
The Dubs are going to win, and you just get to be like,
Well, you have to sweat on the way out because you may get murdered on your way home.
True.
But that's not the Warriors'
problem. San Francisco also lovely this time here as well.
No, it's not. Oh. Well, it is usually, but not this year.
Not this year. The stink of shit is in the air.
Yeah. You live in Austin, okay? We're not very far removed from San Francisco.
No, I will say this. They cleaned it up. Even though we've got a liberal city council.
They live in the woods behind my apartment.
That's your fucking problem.
Yeah, that's a you problem.
It's a feral society.
It's a you problem.
It does not abide by the law.
I don't have to see it. So.
There's going to be a fucking homeless Robin Hood that pops up out of that Sherwood Forest behind your apartment.
Here's just what I'm going to say, is that that's your property tax.
Yes.
Okay? We all pay money property taxes. Yeah. You pay hobo shit property taxes.
Hobo property taxes.
And it's, again, not my... No. And I've worked in San Francisco for quite a while. This is nowhere near it, buddy. Like I've had to cross the street to the other side of the street because the dude was shitting on the sidewalk and making eye contact with me.
I haven't had a car for a month and a half, and I had to walk to the gym, so I take a shortcut through the woods, and I've seen them. They're there.
Oh yeah,
it's a whole little society. Do you want to go?
Let's set up some trail cameras.
It's Mad Max.
Yeah.
I bet it is.
And they're building a trail from Austin to San Antonio that McConaughey is like funding or whatever.
He is, yes.
All he's doing is fucking funding Fury Road. That's all he's doing.
Let's put cameras on that.
Yeah, can we infiltrate this?
Like, Giorgio, you don't need to do any infiltrating. Just show up. You look the part, man.
Yeah, you look it right now.
I will go undercover to this community, and I'm going to get to the
same way you went undercover to a fucking nudist colony.
Right. This is like Daniel Day-Lewis. Method acting is Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah. All you got to do is show up with a shopping cart. You're fine.
The NFL is dropping games here left and right. I don't know why they do this. Wasn't there like a show last year where they just dropped them all at once?
Well, they're going to take their talents to South Beach. They think people give a fuck. Just give me the list now.
That's it.
So I can make my plans for the fall, bitch.
So Monday Night Football is headed back to Buffalo. The Bills will host the Titans week two in a rematch of one of the last season's most exciting matchups. Here's the thing, dude. It's a whole different team now. AJ Brown is gone and all that other shit. Like, the Bills should stomp him. If I could bet on this game right now, I would. That's fucking crazy to me. So why not just do all of this at once? They're also saying this is going to be part of a doubleheader for Monday night. And it's going to be the Eagles. Your Eagles are hosting Minnesota Vikings at home. And that's going to be on 8:30. It'll be their first meeting since 2019. So
I
can't wait
for the Eagles
to play the Vikings again.
Why?
I can't believe it's been so many
years.
Go
Birds!
Why? Why are these two games your teams?
You don't remember that NFC Championship game?
No.
Where we just berated all the Minnesota Viking fans to the point where they just started crying on social media.
No. Yeah,
we were, they suck.
Not to victim blame, but what the fuck did they expect? At some point, it's just like, that's like leaving a bad review on Yelp at a Somali hotel.
There was
like,
just this.
What did you think was going to happen?
There was just this drunk, like 20-year-old Eagles fan just screaming, "Go Birds!" after the game.
Go Birds!
Into, this lovely Minnesota couple
who are
about 55-year-old. Yeah.
I'm sure they drown their sorrows in mayonnaise and it's all fine now.
And spicy they probably overdosed. Ketchup. Yeah, they overdosed.
Is how they refer to ketchup.
Yeah.
Had a heart attack on the spot.
I'm looking forward to, I can't wait for the schedule to come out because I'm just immediately going to take the over on wins for the Jets.
What do you think that is?
Probably 6.5.
I bet it's 4.
That's high.
I bet it's 4.5.
No,
for real.
Zach Wilson's their quarterback. Say whatever you want about him, but he's got the right build for it and everything. He didn't suck just because of himself last year.
He's got Garrett Wilson now. Yeah. So,
well, now he's got Breece Hall, Elijah Moore, and Garrett Wilson and CJ Uzoma. Right?
Okay, Breece Hall was pretty whatever.
Garrett Wilson's about the only one I'll sign up for.
Aren't they still
what are you talking about? Elijah Moore is a fucking a really good receiver.
I feel like they still might be the fourth best team in their division.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible because they still
Patriots.
They picked up
Dolphins.
They picked up three pretty significant defensive guys as well.
Yeah,
and so, also you got to factor in this is the year Tua steps it up.
Oh no, I was talking about the Jets, but yeah, the Dolphins. Look, man, they don't need a whole lot of out of Tua to win football games.
Fins up.
Yeah. Their defense is really fucking good. Yeah. They just need a quarterback.
Why does it mean he needs to get the ball out of his hands and to anybody other than himself?
No.
They should have gone all in for Deshaun Watson. I don't understand it.
They're fine.
I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the guy there.
I think Tua's
going to... I agree. Two gloves is going to pop in.
Like at some point. Because
as long as Tua's dad beat his ass in the offseason, he's going to be fine. He's going to evolve into a franchise quarterback.
By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, the Kenny Pickett story with the hands. Do you know that he was wearing gloves all through college?
Yeah.
When he plays? That's got to be the reason.
He was in college for like a decade.
Yeah, but that's
got to... He beat Clemson like twice.
That has to be the reason.
The reason his hands are small?
No, the reason why he wears the gloves is probably because his hands are too small.
I thought you were going to say it's because he's like a Japanese foot binding or something.
You know who else spent half their career doing that?
Dirty Curdy, Warner.
Yeah, Kurt Warner did it. Who cares?
Yeah, and the movie did well, too.
Greatest show on turf.
Did it? We'll play it at all the mega churches.
It's a Christian movie.
Yeah, I played it at all the mega churches.
That always brings out people. Sad story to report. Former Michigan State star Adrian Payne was shot and killed in Orlando. That's a weird story, man.
Dude, it's especially weird because Ken Pom had him living to 36. And so,
boy, that's too soon. That's too soon, bud.
Well, it is what it is. Nah, it happened when it happened.
Yeah, Rob's had a few drinks.
I feel bad. I watched him play. Story. He was a great player. I actually remember him, and he was a fantastic player. And he had a really sweet, I forget the girl's name, but he like had a really sweet relationship with this like pediatric cancer patient.
He did, yes.
And who also passed away. Mm-hmm. And so that's unfortunate. He was a really good guy.
Yeah, that was a super strange story here. There was a lot of rumors going on this morning about what caused it. Mm. Now they're finally saying he was shot. Yeah, but they weren't saying what the circumstances were over.
Okay.
And there were some people fighting online on social media now, over where in Orlando? The cause was. Well, that's your area.
OBT?
The Orange County Sheriff's Office. So is that all of Orlando?
Orange County's Orlando, yeah.
Okay. I don't spend a lot of time there.
Right.
Try not to, especially after the World Camping Bowl incident.
If you wish on a monkey paw to be transported to the OC, you get sent to Orange County, Florida.
I like Orange County, North Carolina. It's where Chapel Hill is located.
Is it really?
Hillsborough.
I didn't know that.
Used to be the state's capital.
Did you see the situation with Chris Paul?
No.
So some dude was heckling the fuck out of him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit, I heard about it, but I didn't see it. Was that true?
It happened. Well, I don't know what the facts of the case are yet.
He said that the kid, because it looked like a kid being escorted out.
Yeah.
So I saw it on social media after the game. He said he physically touched his mom.
Now, probably not. It's probably, I very much think that's unlikely that some kid just started getting physical with some old lady.
I agree.
Yeah, that kid looked fucking 15. Yeah.
He looked 15 and he appeared to be with his own mom.
Yeah, but there was a photo of like his mom just being like so disappointed in her son.
Well, she was embarrassed.
He's going around.
I'm sure she was embarrassed.
He might have been talking shit. I mean, it is all.
So no, he was definitely.
Yeah, he is a 15 year old, so he's probably like, Chris Paul, suck my dick, or some dumb shit like that.
No. My guess is so Chris Paul's mom, wife, and two kids, I think, were there.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And the guy is kind of yelling over them at Chris Paul. Now, I wouldn't expect a 15, 16 year old kid to know who the fuck Chris Paul's wife and mom are. Right, and I'm not sure that would have changed his behavior either. I don't know one way or the other.
Unless they had like Paul family,
fans,
well, whatever.
So here's the crazy thing. Well,
wait. My guess is that this kid is just talking some really mad and inappropriate shit. But that's what people do at fucking sporting events, right?
Sure. The other parts of this that no one is saying is there is a player's family section. So if you have those tickets, you're amongst all their entire family, and you fucking know it. Like you know they're there. So I would highly doubt that this kid talks shit amongst all of the Phoenix Suns family members.
I would guess he was probably talking.
He was probably yelling shit. Like, now, what could have happened was he was just talking shit to the players. And between him and the court was Chris Paul's family.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I think probably happened.
And maybe Chris Paul's family, someone turned around and was like, fuck you, I'm related to him, or like, hey, these are his kids, can you calm down? And maybe then he said some shit because as 15-year-old or whatever want to do. He, you know,
well, especially one that's comfortable saying the kind of shit he was probably saying next to his mom, right?
Right.
In public. But the like my expectation at the end of this, if they don't just cover it up entirely, is that one of the family members probably, like, even if it was just in a casual, like, hey, don't talk like that kind of way and touch him, he's like, get the fuck off me.
Yeah.
That's not pushing somebody. I just want to be clear. There are a million cameras in that fucking place.
Yeah.
And let's be real clear about the fucking optics. It's a fucking young white kid that appears to be affluent there with his mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's a black family involved. And we haven't seen footage of this alleged contact he made with the family yet. Fuck off, dude.
Now,
yeah. We've seen this before.
Could have been some level of white trash, because what I saw from the video, he did have an earring.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's that's either just high school. What are
you talking
Teenage about?
Rebellion or Whiskey Tango.
Yeah, it's like a diamond earring. Because to get tickets down there, I know exactly where those seats are. When you're that rich, you don't let your kid get a fucking earring like that.
I don't know.
What I'm saying is maybe it's new money garbage white trash. What I'm telling you, that's not a Highland Park kid.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe he goes to Plano High.
Here's what I can tell you: if our NBA ESPN page top headlines, it's not a story anymore. It was for like an hour this morning, and then it was gone. So it's not.
If it involved race the mom, you're right.
It would be all over.
ESPN would have written this all down.
So I'm sure essentially someone was being overdramatic.
Now, unsurprisingly, I had diamond studs in high school.
I'm surprised you don't have them now. That's the only surprise for me, is that they still don't exist inside your ears.
Well, he had to sell them to pay his gambling debts.
I wish he had them. Like, I'm debating on buying
him. Would you put
them
back in?
I think it went from diamonds to CZs for him and then gone.
Hole's still open.
All right.
I want to get him a big rock.
You could probably get one in right here on the left.
Just a square, you know? Just right in there.
Should I go with Michael Jordan hoop?
Why not? Yeah,
you need diamond. You need a big diamond.
Yeah, you need one singular diamond. Speaking of one singular diamond, the diamond boy of fucking boxing lost this weekend. Canelo.
I didn't even bother watching because I thought he was going to just...
Everybody did.
Yeah. It's not a good advertisement for veganism, is it?
No, it's not. And they had...
Did he go vegan?
He went vegan for the fight.
He went vegan.
Dude, goddamn, Prince Fielder, Canelo, Michael Porter Jr. Yep. You cannot be a vegan if you're a fucking athlete.
No.
I'm sorry. The technology's just not there.
It's not,
as they say.
It's the nutrients you need combined with the correct lipids to get them into your body, like MCT oil, but for fucking natural food and like... fruits, vegetables, and meat that you eat, having the correct lipids associated with them so you get those actual nutrients, which, by the way, you can get muscle gain from protein for sure, but you can't like take care of ligaments and tendons like that. It doesn't work that
way.
Vegan
protein just isn't a complete protein. It doesn't have all 9 amino acids.
Yeah.
Right. And I popped in and watched.
There's no
casein
in it at all, I don't believe. Like, there's no... What's the slowest burning protein you're going to get out of a vegan diet like that? Like, is there any 4 to 6 hour burning protein?
I have not looked into it.
Yeah, let's look into that.
Look, all I know is, as far as vegans go, if you're worried about cruelty to animals or whatever, one of my biggest hippie friends I've ever fucking had, she was, and I think remains to this day, a pescatarian. Mm. And we're like, well, if you don't eat meat, why don't you eat fish? And she was like, because fish don't have fucking brains.
I'm a pescatarian, which is I only eat fish that eat other fish.
So you eat sharks?
Yeah. That's nice.
Shark meat, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Eat tuna and salmon and all that shit. Like, they don't know that they exist.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand if you're sad about cows having their babies ripped from them or something like that. I can wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
But the fish, they don't know what they're doing. They are they are NPCs.
Yeah. 100%.
What is an NPC?
Non-player character.
Oh, I thought it was...
And if anything, plants communicate probably better than fish.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Either way, he got fucking destroyed. So
yeah, I don't give a shit about all that.
I popped into this fight because Barstool, this is the only reason I got interested in this, to be honest with you.
DAZN.
Well, here's the thing. Barstool, they let Portnoy and fucking, pardon my take guy, Big PFT? Cat. Oh,
yeah, okay. And then you also have
Let them announce the fight.
The more famous Rob Fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Robbie Fox from Barstool.
He
overtook.
Spells it with an IE like a bitch.
but I watched this fight. It was, I could literally only give 3 rounds to Canelo and that was it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a fucking blowout.
Yeah,
it was
let me tell you about cruelty to animals, making human beings watch that shit.
Well, right? I think that's why they hired Barstool. This is just my guess. was just to get people interested. And I wanted to see what it was like just from our perspective of like, you and I have done a bare knuckle boxing fight. Mm. I enjoy it. This was the wrong fight to do for these guys because it was so fucking boring. This was so one sided. It was like the Rose fight where it was just like,
live dog. Yeah. You went up in weight. You can't do that.
No. And so afterwards, like, he seemed fine with it, which was the other
He went up in weight and went vegan. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. He went up 7 pounds. 7 pounds.
What?
Yeah, and went vegan.
That's like your ass beat.
Good Lord.
He got beat.
But you know what he did is make $53 million.
Sure did.
So who gives a fuck about any of this?
Fair enough, and
right?
Just made more money on the rematch.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because now that Triple G fight is off, he's going to probably exercise his rematch clause in this. And he'll probably lose again. I don't know.
Or he'll beat him, and then they'll get a third fight.
He's going to get a beef sponsor. Beef. It's what's for dinner, bitch. But it's going to be in Spanish.
The Triple G fight will always be there.
Carne.
So he just made more money. He just made probably $200 million on three
Triple
more fights.
Triple G is like 41 years old, though.
Yeah, man. But the boxers keep going. Oof. Bernard Hopkins was fighting until he was like 58.
He was. I don't know.
I don't even know if
Mike Tyson is fighting again.
Is he?
He fights once more.
Yeah.
He's fighting a Paul brother.
That's true. But either way, I found it hilarious that this was on against UFC and like just more proof that UFC is overtaken boxing. No one gave a shit about this fight. And to have Barstool on it means you were desperate for ratings of like, hey, dude, can we get the Barstool guys in here?
Is this money coming from? Like,
I don't understand how they can
keep paying these boxers the kind of money they're making.
Me neither. This should go to the UFC fighters. UFC.
Had to sell a lot of crypto.
It's for sure boxing has to be some type of like money laundering scheme, right?
Probably.
Has to be, right? Like, where is this money coming from? Nobody was watching this.
Saudis? I don't know.
What if they just had like the dopest trust of all time? Like, they bought like the right stock in like 1892 and just...
Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? But
it's just a tontine.
Watching both back to back that night, it's the UFC and everything else. Boxing is dead. It's just fucking dead.
I don't find the UFC all that exciting, except for like once every three or four fights, to be honest. And I mean main cards, not like the fight night stuff. Like one out of every three.
But if Dana paid these guys and they wanted to, they could stack it every fucking weekend.
We went 3 for 5 this week. I mean, yeah, the OSP fight was awful. They booed Shogun in Phoenix. Giorgio probably would have fought everybody in Phoenix like he tried the last time we were there.
Nah, I don't have much. Shogun can get booed.
You can't boo Shogun.
He's old as fuck, though.
I know, but you can't boo him.
He's so old.
But yeah, I mean, Chaos Williams, Randy Brown was a great fight. Randy Brown looks so good.
It was way better than this Canelo. I can promise you. I went back and forth, and it's not even close. It's just not anymore. And there's no more dudes left. The interesting part was Floyd Mayweather after this fight said, "I don't understand why everybody's been sucking Canelo's dick all these years." He goes, "I was almost 40 years old, and I beat the shit out of him. That is not hyperbole. I was actually at that fight ringside at that Mayweather Canelo fight." It wasn't even close. I think you'd be lucky to give Canelo one round in that Mayweather fight.
23-year-old Canelo?
Yes, against a 40-year-old Mayweather.
But here's the thing, though. Like boxing, I assume individual sports like this, individual sport like that is really similar to an individual sport like tennis, where sometimes you just have one guy who's just so much fucking better than everybody else. And it's just not, even if they play like a really young guy who's like coming up and might be good eventually, like they're just not there yet. And Canelo might be that guy where he was like fighting in a vacuum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
where like
none
tennis
of those
players have that all the time. Federer had that at the beginning. Djokovic had that for a couple years.
Yeah, but now Canelo's that guy, and he's kind of been coasting, right?
Like that's what. Yeah,
he just does a lot of different things. Like,
and once somebody's able to
golf every day, like he does a whole like
he did a full concert afterwards and karaoke concert after this fucking fight was over, and his face was beat to shit. It just didn't seem like he cared. Nor does he have that drive to be the greatest of all time.
Well, how have you?
Nor could he be, right? Like he can't be. He can't surpass.
How much
Floyd?
Apathy have you had towards life and all your circumstances the day you've made $50 million?
I have not made $50 million. Right. So I don't have that answer, but I would love to have it for you, Bob. And you know what I would do?
What?
I'd have a sit down right here with you when I'm wearing the green jacket at the end of the year and do the butler cabin.
But if I also had $50 million, I wouldn't show up.
That's true. Yeah, we wouldn't see you ever again.
Right. No.
We wouldn't see you ever again. Your
picks? We'd see your body in like 2 weeks, but...
Yeah.
Floating down the river.
He'd live. No, I think he'd live because he'd want to play golf every day.
I'm probably like tied to an anchor.
That's true. We'd never see your body.
Paige?
My body.
Oh, you mean
a literal anchor, but yeah, we'll go with that.
I thought you meant like a marriage one. I was like, yeah, that 50 would probably
do
it.
Yes, I'll be her second husband.
Yeah, 50
and
would
she'll
probably
take me
do
for
it.
Half.
Yeah, but that'd be a fun half.
You should take
you'd
her
still
for
have
half.
25.
Well, her first husband already did that.
We'll end it on a. There we go. We'll end it on another love story. Ciara and Russell Wilson got a new dog named Bronco.
Who cares?
Exactly. Why ESPN felt the need to even post that story on their homepage today is way the fuck beyond me, other than Ciara's hot. Like,
slow news day.
I guess so.
Well, I think it's really the subtext there is that they don't bang.
That's what it feels like, right?
Right.
Is Russ gay?
No. He's another Rogers. He's asexual.
All right. All right. Because Ciara was going after hardcore rappers, like, I mean, Future and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
but
gangsters.
Future's kind of a bitch, no?
No, Future's not a gangster at all.
Yeah, I like Future, and like I liked his last album that just came out. It doesn't come up, does not appear to be hard.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right.
Some of us are. Right now, actually.
Yeah.
Me.
Exactly. And if you want to be hard, you can go to hardafseltzer.com. Get some fucking cases shipped to your house, dude. 8% seltzer. Let's fucking go. I'm betting on this Bucks game tonight at -1 on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your deposit up to $1,000. You can bet with me or against me in that. Fun show today, kids. Golf will be up tomorrow or Wednesday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow. Cool.
Baseball cool. Wednesday. We'll talk about how the Braves are doing really well.
Yes.
They're back
on track.
For
well,
now,
they're it's more than back on track. Like, Fried is 4-2 with a 2.68 ERA this year. Kyle Wright is 3-1 with a 1.74. And Ian Anderson, since his shitty first start, is 3-0 with a 2.45. Like, we are back to a dominant three-headed beast in Atlanta. And it's only going to get better as the year goes on. Like, Elder will develop more, and Soroka may come back.
Well, even Morton's going to be better than he is.
Yeah.
I checked in, it was 9-0 yesterday. Is that what it ended up?
We won 9-2.
Yeah, but it's like, don't even worry. The offensive stuff will come when it comes. The Braves, they just have all these players like Swanson and Duvall especially. They suck unless it's like runners on and two outs. They go from like, I'm not even kidding, they go from like 205 to 210 batting average to like 360, both of them. In those situations, so bizarre. I don't understand how that works.
It's yeah,
but these dudes perform when it's time to. This is going to be an interesting season because the Mets are fucking looking.
The Mets are legit. We talked about in the last show. The Mets finally have. We think actually the Mets are off their bullshit.
Yeah,
because they finally have a manager who is competent, which they've never had.
I hate Steve Cohen though.
It is May.
Yeah, it's early.
I'm telling
it's
you, early. I know all that, but Buck Showalter is. There was one outlet.
The Braves and the Mets are back.
Mets will be Mets. Mets will be Mets.
I figure they'll probably cock it up at some point, but
whatever their breadth for cock up is for fucking up, it's reduced with Buck Showalter there.
Certainly, it's less. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the new studio is almost being done built. By the way, screen stays. It'll be over the set itself, so we'll be able to do these live watches with you guys this fall. Man, I just fucking chugged some hard AF seltzer there.
And then Wednesday, we might have a big-time sports guest.
Yes, on regular feed. He's that big that it should be regular feed for sure. It would be a dream of mine, so we'll find out. I'm always iffy on it. Somebody blew us off today. We're not going to say who that is because maybe it'll reschedule, but fuck it. I get superstitious like that. I do. Again, go to mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your deposit. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I am Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap Show. Good morning, everyone.